I don't have time to rule on your motion. I'm far too busy being delicious. I'm sorry, Foxy. I don't have time to rule on your objection. I'm far too busy being delicious.
He is delicious.
That's great.
Judge Gosh.
Your Honor?
I'm sorry. I can't hear the verdict. You see, my wife left me last night and I'm just not feeling very delicious.
Oh, poor Fudge.
I'm just messing with you. I can't be serious all the time. I'm far too busy
being delicious.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Okay, everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Well, lots to get into today, as I believe any moment now, if it's already happened, it might have, the Vancouver Canucks will be taking on the Montreal Canadiens at the Molson Center. Is that what it's still called? I don't know anymore. They used to play in the Forum, of course, the Montreal Forum, and then they moved because everybody moves sometime or another. Nothing's sacred anymore. And now they're playing in the Molson Center. They originally called it the Molson Center, but maybe they sold off that name. I don't know. Anyways, we will try to give you updates as the show goes on. But lots to get into today on Wiener's Barbecue. Any moment now, we're going to have the assistant coach of the UBC Thunderbirds men's basketball team, Vern Knopp, and with us, the star of that team. He's the guy, Casey Archibald. They'll be with us any moment now. Howard Samora from the Vancouver Province will be on with us to talk about something that happened to the UBC basketball team. Hasn't happened for almost 2 years. It happened to the UBC Thunderbird team in Brandon on the weekend. Howard Samora from the Vancouver Province will be on to talk with us at about 15-20 minutes time. Then we're going to talk a little UBC hockey. Brad Zanin, the man of the hat trick during the second period for the UBC team in their 6-4 win versus Regina at GM Place on the weekend. He'll be with us. Canada West Hockey Player of the Week. Male Hockey Player of the Week. Then we're going to have Jim Robson will be with us today. We caught up with Jim Robson on the weekend at GM Place. He was our guest on the pregame show before our Friday's game. Real great guy, Jim Robson. I've had him on this show before. He's going to be on. We're going to replay that interview for you. Hopefully you'll like it. And then we're going to end the show with some National Football League talk. I'm hoping to have BJ Brian Bass, my man from Las Vegas. Great NFL games on the weekend. Very entertaining. I missed the two on Saturday. I missed my Eagles play. 27-24 losers to the Saints. I caught a little bit of the Colts-Ravens game. Not enough, though, to say really what happened. But I did plop down on a couch at my buddy's place, Darren's place. There was about eight of us. And yeah. We watched it on his big old high-def TV. He's got a large one, and yeah, that's what I did Sunday. I still think I'm lazy. Well, I'm lazy anyways, but I'm still like, ugh, from just watching football all day Sunday. An exciting Seahawk game. Patriots game looked like it was going to be extremely boring, and it was for a long time until, how you doing? Lots of craziness. And the Colts, I'm sorry, and the Colts, yeah, that's how it sets up now. It will be the Colts hosting the Patriots on the weekend. Didn't see that one coming. No siree, I didn't. Anyways, I'm waiting for Vern and Casey right now to get into the studio. And I was at the UBC basketball practice, you know, before I come in, I stopped by and try to set up the interviews. And Kevin Hansen told me to be quiet at one point. I was talking too loud. At their practice, head coach gives me a little guff. So, yeah. Anyways, I wonder where these guys are, Vert and Casey. Yeah, you know, you get the whole show planned, and you're sitting here, and, you know, I come in here, and, you know, whatever, and I'm here, ready to go, and they're late. They're late. And they are never late, I have to say that. They're early every time besides this time. So, well, we'll have to give them a pink slip or something. You know, not like a firing slip, but, you know, saying you were tardy. A tardy slip. A tardy notice. And if you're tardy with me, I don't really do anything to you. I'll take whoever I can get. Who's kidding who? Anyways, well, we're waiting for these two boys to get into the studio right now. You are listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. I will promote, coming up this weekend, our next CITR sports broadcast, and we have doozies for you. We have doozies for you. If you are a basketball fan, you know, we got no more Grizzlies here. And we've got CIS basketball, great Canada West basketball in this province. Lots of teams involved. And do we ever have some great games for you this weekend? It really doesn't get any better than the games we get a call this weekend. For regular season CIS basketball, you can't beat what we have going on this weekend here at CITR Sports and the games going on. At Victoria, you've got the women first. You've got the UBC Thunderbird women who are just rolling. Right now, the UBC Thunderbird women sitting at number two in the country with a record of 14-1. They won both their games on the weekend. They are going to be traveling to UVic. Both the men and the women play back-to-back. We're doing games on Friday and Saturday. They're going to be taking on a team with a very half-decent record. Granted, they've got four real tough games in a row. It's the UVic Vikes I'm talking about. UVic coming into the weekend 9-6, so we got a pretty good matchup there. UVic, though, they got to play UBC, the number two team in the country, twice this weekend. And then next weekend, they will be hosting the number three team in the country, SFU Clan, who are 14-2. So that 9-6 will probably turn into 9-10 in the next couple weeks. But you never know. And on the men's side, UBC, this is the premier matchup. This is what I'm talking about. Doesn't get any better than this. UBC coming in. I don't know how much you listen to me here, but UBC has not lost a conference game in 33 straight coming into Brandon last weekend. They lost in Brandon. We're going to talk to these guys about it as soon as they get here. UBC with their 14-1 record will be going into UVic. UBC, the number six team in the country, will be going into UVic, taking on the number nine team in the country, the UVic Vikes, coming in with a record of 13-2. Interestingly, UBC coming into the weekend 13-0. UVic coming into the weekend was 12-1. Both UBC and UVic went into Brandon on the weekend. The Bobcats coming into the weekend with records of 10-2. Really getting ready to see where they stand in the Canada West for real. The number three team now in the nation because of what they did on the weekend, knocking off UBC 87-77 on Friday night. That was Brandon. And then they came up on Saturday and beat UVic by a score of 82-81. Huge wins for Brandon. And we're going to talk about the significance of these wins for Brandon with Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province after the interview I do here with Casey and Vern. Because we'll talk to Howard about this more in depth. I'm pretty sure Howard is one of the guys who votes on Canada West basketball. And, you know, maybe who gets the buys and, I mean, who gets the automatic bids and the wild card bids is how it works. For example, in the Canada West playoffs, you've got all the conference winners are going to advance. Of the conference divisional winners are going to advance in the playoffs. And they're going to be taking on, the three of them are going to have a little tournament, but the fourth team is a wild card team. You know, they just sort of pick the best of who's ever left. And Howard, I'm sure, is part of the group, is one of the voters. There they are! is one of the voters who votes on that tournament. I've been rambling on like an idiot. Howard is one of the guys who votes on it. So Howard Samura from the Vancouver province will be with us right after these guys are on to talk to us about the significance of what happened to UBC on the weekend. And now we're at this right now. So what's going on here? I get yelled at by coach at practice to pipe down. I get yelled at by coach at practice, and now you're tardy. I don't care though. I'm pretty easy. What happened, Vern? You're never late. You're early always.
Yeah, we had a little practice a little longer than usual. I guess that's kind of what happens when you lose a game when you haven't lost in a while.
Casey.
What is up?
Okay, with us right now, Casey Archibald and Vern Knopp. Casey, ready to go. Well, I got to ask you guys, what happened? You go into Brandon, and I'm expecting to come in here today and say the words 15-0.
Yeah.
But I don't anymore. I say the words 14-1. You go into Brandon, lose 87-77 on Friday. And Casey, I just got to bring it up, 4-for-13 on the weekend in that game. You came up with a great game on Saturday night, not your best shooting game. What happened to you guys, though, on Friday?
To be honest, you know, I think some of us might have thought that we'd be sitting 15-0 today, too. And, you know, we sort of get used to winning, and sometimes games slip on you. And I think that's one of those games we went out there, probably expected to win, tough place to play in, and they're a good team. They proved it the next night, too, against Victoria. Tough to win two tough games back-to-back. So they proved that they're a good team, and I think we just sort of let one slip.
Surprised they came out and beat Victoria also 82-81 the next night?
I was a little surprised. I thought they'd have a bit of a letdown after us, but I think they were riding pretty high all weekend, so good for them.
What happened, Vern? Why are you guys 14? I mean, you know, I'm picking hairs here, but the undefeated's real fun. I've got some, you know, we got a story here. Why are you guys 14-1 now?
Well, basically, we just, you know, we didn't come ready to play. Full credit to Brandon, the way they played. They came out, and their shooters shot the ball really well. We didn't shoot the ball, other than maybe Chris Dick, we didn't shoot the ball great. We really got no inside scoring and rebounding from our posts, and I think that was probably one of our biggest letdowns, not just on Friday night, but Saturday night as well. Our posts definitely have to step up and play better.
Chris Dick, 27 points in the game. But really, Casey, is it a little disturbing for you guys? Yeah, you did have an off night shooting the ball. Nobody else really able to step up that night besides Chris. At least all I see is the stats, but that's what it looks like here.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I think, you know, guys might have just, myself included, just went out there thinking we'd get the win and, you know, try to get home as soon as possible. But it's a tough place to play. I mean, it always is, but... I mean, we're probably going to have to go back there for Canada West, so at least we got that loss out of our system, and next time we go back there, it'll be different.
And it was cold, I heard.
It was very cold.
What was it, like minus 40?
Yeah.
With wind chill minus 40,
And you took a bus to Regina after the game?
Yeah.
Rough bus ride, hey?
Overall, it was just a great trip.
Coach, was it building to this? Is this something that has been coming on with the way you guys have been playing in the last month?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks we've been struggling to find our game. Kind of a little bit at this time last year, we were already struggling. I think a lot of it's just the holiday hangover, maybe. Guys starting to believe their press clipping is a little too much, and hopefully this loss gets us refocused. And I mean, we don't really have much choice. Big game this weekend, so we got to come prepared and ready to play for 40 minutes.
Yeah, we'll get to Victoria in a second, but Casey, just want to ask you. You came up not as great a team on Saturday night. I'm told this score, it was a lot wider margin than it actually shows on the score sheet, the win versus Regina on Saturday. You came out, were you a little angry, out to prove after the loss? 30 points in that one, Casey.
Yeah, well, I mean, just really didn't want to go home with two losses, and Regina came out, and they came out hitting their shots, so, you know, just basically a little pissed off from the night before, so came out ready to go.
Because, Coach, only a two-point lead at halftime, though, I see.
Yeah, we didn't play real well in the first half. I think a lot of inside scoring we were giving up, easy hoops and getting out rebound. We were getting killed on the boards, I think, at halftime. But the fact that we were up two was a pretty good indication that we were going to be all right in the second half, because we didn't play well in the first half and we still managed to have a two-point lead. So we weren't that concerned going into the second half. If we played to our ability, we knew we'd pull away.
Big deal, Casey, to have a loss. I mean, you had the undefeated season last year. Were you hoping for another one this year? Or there's bigger things to be won this season.
Well, I mean, there is bigger things to be won. It would have been nice to have won 40 straight league games, or 41 to end my career. But I mean, if we have to lose, I would rather lose in January. And to be honest, I think we needed to lose that game. I think it probably was good for us, even though I hate to say that. I think we needed it.
Less pressure now for the rest of the season?
I don't know how much more pressure we could actually have. I mean, we're still playing for first place.
Yeah.
And everyone's told us there's less pressure. Like Coach Hansen said, as long as we learn from the loss and improve from the loss, it was worth it. You know, we weren't really thinking of undefeated season last year. We weren't thinking about it this year. We just got to continue to keep building towards the end result.
Well, if all goes to plan, you'll have your shot at Brandon again in the Canada West Championship, so we'll see how that goes. But to the weekend!
Yeah.
To the weekend, you got the big matchup coming up, the second and third games versus between UBC and UVic. UBC coming in 14-1. You're now the number 6 team in the country. Brandon's number 3 now.
Yeah.
With the sweep of the two teams on the weekend, I told you.
That's what'll happen when you lose a game, I guess.
And UVic coming in with a record of 13-2, the number 9 team in the country. You guys met once before this season, just before the winter break, at UBC. You guys won it 78-73, but UVic, a lot went wrong for him that game. Graham Bollinger, no points in that game, and UVic, a 70% free throw shooting team, shot 38% from the line against you guys in that one. So, Casey, you know, you went off. What did you have? You had 31 second half points, or was it 29 that night? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember.
It was something, though. It was close to that. You had about 4 in the first half. You had 33 that night. But, Casey, with those statistics staring at us from the UVic perspective, are you guys going to have to play a better game on the weekend than you did here at UBC?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're playing at their gym, too, right? So, you've got to add that in. But at the same time, you know, they're coming off the same road trip that we are. They had the same loss, and right now we're the team to beat. So basically we're going to go in there with confidence, and I'm expecting 2 wins. I think most of the guys are. Vic, I don't know what they're expecting, but I mean, if I'm them, I'm a little bit nervous playing us, just because they lost to us last time they played. So realistically, I think, we're the team to beat. I think we're still the team to beat in Canada West, so that's that.
Because if you look at the standings, it really says that if you guys do get a split, you're pretty much set for home court the rest of the way. You will have, in essence, a game and a half lead. If they sweep you, they'll have, in essence, a game and a half lead because they'll have the tiebreaker. Is split in your guys' minds? Because that, for home court, that is what you need. Is that in your minds at all, Coach?
No, it never enters our mind. Since I've been here with 7 years with Coach Hansen, it's always been about getting 2 wins on the weekend. We never talk about split. So it's always just get 2 wins, go 2-0 on the road.
So, Casey, how'd you guys match up the first time? You get to see their guards, Steve Moore and Brandon Ellis, a lot of the times out there. Mm-hmm. How are you matching up with those guys?
Well, today's still, we haven't talked too much about the matchups, but it'll be similar as last game. We know their personnel so well. They're pretty much all the same guys except for their new point guard. It'll be pretty much the same game, I think, as it was the first time we played them.
Which is what?
Which is us coming out on top at the end of the game. Basically, we're gonna have to slow down their bigs inside, try to keep them off the free throw line because they are a good free throw shooting team, and basically just keep track of the shooters because they can get hot at any time, especially at home.
And Coach, you got to tell us how you're going to stop these big men. You did a great job last time. Jacob Dirksen and Graham Bollinger. Graham Bollinger, as I said, no points. Dirksen had 12 in that game, but 12 between them is nothing. How are you going to do that again? What's the plan?
The plan is just got to outwork them. You're on the road, so you got to kind of take the mentality that you're down 10 points going into a game. We just got to be tougher than them and outwork them. That's what it comes down to.
So what are you telling your big man, Coach? Sean Stewart, I'm told, has a bit of a hamstring injury this weekend.
Yeah, he's probably questionable at best for this weekend.
So Cody Berg, Bryson Kuhr, are those the two main guys? Brent Malish, maybe a little? I mean, what's the plan?
Well, Brent Malish actually had a good weekend for us. Really came kind of probably the best weekend he's had for us since he's been here. So we'd expect good things for him to build on that. It comes down to all four of our posts that play. They all got to come in. They got to play tough defense, and they have to rebound for us. And also got to provide on the offensive end as well, which they didn't do this past weekend.
Now, Casey, don't hurt me here. I'm sure you wouldn't, but you're far bigger than me, and you actually exercise. I was talking to Coach, Mr. Point Spread over there, and I have you guys, if I were to set the line,
I told you the line I had, hey?
Yes, you did.
I have you guys at a 4-point underdog.
Oh.
For Friday night's game.
Ooh.
I have you on the road.
Ooh.
On the road, I have you guys at a 4-point underdog. Any comment to that?
What was the score of our last game? Just I don't
you won by 5.
Won by 5?
You won by 5.
9-point swing? That's what you think?
I'm taking the fact you're going into their barn there.
Okay.
Setting the line. That's okay. All. Just setting the line.
I mean, I'm not much of a betting man, but I'd take the underdog then. I'd put all my money down on the underdog.
Is it a fair line though, Coach? Do you think you guys are the underdog going into the weekend?
It's a tough place to play, so I think it's a fair line. I think in our league, home court stands up for a lot. But with Casey, obviously, I think if I was setting the line, I'd at least say it was a pick. But I expect to fully win. I mean, it's easy to take the 4 points, though.
Notice he didn't say you were favored.
I don't know what's
going on. Casey,
let me explain that for you.
Yeah,
I just like to come in for the underdog for once. For the last 2 years, 3 years now, we've always been coming in as the favorites in every gym. So it's time for some other teams to be the hunted, and it would be kind of nice to come in as an underdog for once.
Fun place to play, Casey Victoria?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather play at home. Yep. But it's a lot funner than playing in Brandon. I'll say that right now. It's not too much of a road trip. It's a good place to play, and apparently they're going to pack the house, so it'll be fun.
Yep. Saturday night should be a great crowd. And Brandon Ellis, have you been talking to him lately? And how's he doing so far?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to him. I'll probably talk to him tonight. But yeah, I haven't talked to him much. So
you don't like the line I said? It's just me. What do I know?
I don't know. But I hope you're wrong.
I do too. But we'll go on from there.
Okay.
So perfect though. So UBC, there you have it. You got Victoria on the weekend. And Casey, who are we looking at? Who am I watching when I'm calling these games on the weekend? Who's the guy who's going to step up for you guys this weekend?
We need our bigs to step up. Especially defensively, we need, you know, if their bigs hurt us, then you know I might take your line on that. So we need our bigs to really step up, and then offensively, you know, we need some spread out scoring throughout the lineup. So, you know, hopefully that comes, and hopefully we can get away with 2 wins this weekend.
And Coach, the plan to run again? Is that what we're looking at here?
That's the plan. That's actually one of the things we talked about in practice today. We haven't been doing a good job of running, and that starts on the defensive end. We've got to get the stops to run. You can't, if you're letting the other team score all the time, it gets pretty tough to run. So definitely the plan is get stops on defense and look to run the ball down the floor.
And Casey, it is just a regular season game, but do these games mean more than your average regular season game? Is that very safe to say?
Definitely. I mean, I think, we want to play at home for playoffs. So definitely, basically, I mean, just because we win these two games, I mean, playoffs isn't necessarily clinched at home, but essentially it is. So, these are big games for us. More so than just that, I think confidence-wise, too, they're big. Because if we sweep them this weekend, then we're riding pretty high, so that'll be good for us.
Terrific, guys. Thanks for doing this. Really do appreciate it. And, Coach, just a question here. What is the fact? Well, you guys, you said you've been struggling the last couple of weeks here. What is the main facet of the game that hasn't been quite there?
I think just lack of execution on both offense and defense. And I think part of that's attributed to the guys have been looking forward to this coming weekend. And I think that sometimes can... That's part of what contributed to the loss last week, and I think guys kind of have this weekend with Victoria, the big matchup, circled on their calendars, and I think that just played a little part into it.
Fair to say, hey, Case?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I didn't think of it that way, but that could have definitely been a factor.
Okay, Vern Knopp from the UBC Thunderbirds. Vern always comes on, and always do appreciate Vern. And Casey, thank you for coming on, and sorry if I offended you, but prove me wrong.
Please, thank you.
You're gonna win, Casey. I'm merely just setting the betting line. That's all for a league that you can't bet on anyway. But
okay.
We were talking football. I gave my number. Awesome, Casey.
Right.
Thanks a bunch.
Thank you,
Coach. Thank you. We're gonna be right back with Howard Zamora from the Vancouver Province. You're listening to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
All right.
Thanks, Casey.
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show, you can never tell, why don't you?
everybody. Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6. And here to talk to us right now about a little CIS basketball, a guy who does a great job covering them for the Vancouver province. And he does more than he has to, I'm sure, putting up some wonderful stuff on their website. I'm sure that's just you, Howard, doing it. I'm sure that's bonus coverage you're putting up there for us.
Yeah, you know what, Daryl, thanks for mentioning the website at theprovince.com, because it's got a huge response since we've launched it around the middle of November, and it's really taken off, and it's a pleasure putting all the little extra tidbits that you come up with as a reporter over the course of a week. There's so much stuff to talk about that just can't make it into print, so I'm glad it's got a new home on the web, and I'm glad people are finding it.
And Howard, of course, with Jim Mullen, you used to do your weekly show, The Spirit of Sport, covering amateur sports in this province. And Howard, I hope you guys get it up again next year.
Well, stranger things have happened. I don't know what's happening with regards to that, but thanks for the kind words on that. And, if we can ever get it back, on the radio, that'd be a great thing to do. But, you guys are doing a great job as well at CITR, getting the news out there about, all university sports. So I think the scene is still healthy, even though there's been the demise of The Spirit of Sport. But happy to see that, university sports is still getting pretty good coverage in this area.
Terrific. Thanks for the talk there, Howard. Well, Howard, I got to ask you, I don't know if you're listening there, but I was interviewing Vern Knopp from the UBC Thunderbirds, the assistant coach, and Casey Archibald, and I told Casey that Coach and I were sort of talking about, the football spreads before we went on here today. I talked to him earlier today, and I told Casey I probably had them about a 4-point underdog coming into the game against UVic on Friday. He didn't seem to like it one bit, but am I kind of accurate? You think UBC is the underdog going into Victoria on Friday?
Well, you know what? I know how competitive Casey Archibald is, and obviously, Vern's been with that program so long. I mean, these are guys that, they're not thinking of the option of not coming out of there with two wins. I think you have to have that mindset going into a place like UBC, but I don't know that there's a program in Canada straight out that you could say goes into McKinnon Gym, and is considered the favorite. It's been such a fortress for Victoria, over the last few years. And I think you add the extra emotion that comes with, the building being, renamed after two great coaches in Ken and Kathy Shields. I think that really just ups the ante in terms of the emotion for Victoria on the weekend. So if you were to make me an odds maker, which I'm not, I would have to say, Victoria probably would be considered the favorite. Not that UBC is not a great team, but Victoria, I think, has so many intangibles, on its side this weekend.
So I got the spread about right, is what you're telling me.
I think you do.
All right, I love it. Well, Howard, I want to get into right now, the weekend. What went on, and boy, oh boy, did the Canada West Pacific Division, they took some punches on the weekend, Howard, going into Brandon, which I've never been there, but I'm told it's a very, very tough place to play. It's a small gym, and they pack it. But, Howard, how big is it, and how topsy-turvy is the Canada West Conference now? UBC hasn't lost in 30 straight consecutive regular season conference games, goes into Brandon on Friday, loses 87-77. UVic, a one-loss team, goes into Brandon on Saturday. They lose a tight one, 82-81. How much does this turn the Canada West upside down?
Well, really, clearly, Brandon, deserves to be, in our power rankings that'll be issued later this week. Obviously, they're going to be the number one team. When you do what they did back-to-back nights, clearly, you've always got the advantage playing at home. If you're playing in a small little bandbox gym like they do, notch it up another advantage. And the fact that although the games aren't played outdoors, I think when you're just in an environment outside that is that cold and you're having to just kind of go from the hotel straight to the gym and really you're just not yourself. I believe the temperatures were in the minus 40 range over the weekend. Those are all things that work in Brandon's favor. I think the main thing is that they're they were a 10-2 team heading into those games, so they're a quality program, and clearly they're deserving, in an unbalanced schedule, of moving into number one because they happen to get, the two Canada West powers, in their building. So they're going to take over that number one spot. I think UBC and Victoria are still, in that top three. And then after that, I think you start looking around the rest of the conference and just look for anyone that can be consistent on any kind of basis. And there really hasn't been that team outside of the big three all season.
Now, let me ask you, Howard, a hypothetical question here. And this is what I want to get into right now. Say Brandon gets knocked out. Say it happens in the first two rounds of the playoffs. The winner of their division in the playoffs will be hosting the Canada West Final Four. There will be a wild card team. Say Brandon doesn't win their divisional playoffs, so they're not the host. Will Brandon or will the loser of UBC and UVic be the wild card team if both teams, say, win out the rest of the way, assuming UBC and UVic split the weekend? Who would Howard Samura vote for to be the wild card team?
That's really tough because, obviously, Brandon's got the head-to-head, mm-hmm. you know, against either UVic or UBC. But I think if they're going to lose, if they're going to lose to a team in their own division, I think you really have to look at that carefully because I don't think you can say there's a flat-out power, and I think the power rankings would probably indicate that, you know, the Simon Frasers and Trinity Westerns are perhaps, you know, a bit tougher overall than the rest of the Great Plains, which you would look at Manitoba and Winnipeg probably. But that's a tough one. And you know what? The way things go in this conference, the wild card team is probably the team you don't think it's going to be.
Because, Howard, I mean, you could say you could give all the advantages to UBC and UVic, tougher schedule, everything, but the fact will remain Brandon beat them in the head-to-head matchups.
Yeah, oh, and I think, you know, that probably will end up, you know, happening. I mean, at the same time, if Brandon goes in as a number one seed or the winner of their division, and they lose in the first round of the Great Plains, I mean, I think you have to take that into consideration.
Right.
Because not only they might have won the head-to-head against UBC and Victoria, but they're going to be losing to a pretty darn weak team, you know, on their side. I mean, we're looking at a team that's going to be well below a sub-500 team. You know, I mean, the possibility, if you look at those standings right now, Winnipeg's 5-9, Regina's 5-9, and Manitoba is 4-10. So, I mean, they're going to have to lose at least two games to a team with that type of a record. I think that's going to have a whole lot of play as to what happens as well.
Well, it'll be fun to follow. And Howard, let me ask you, nationally, what do you do here? Two teams are going to make it from the Canada West, and then a wild card team, that's what I'm told nationally, we'll get into the final eight?
Okay, yeah, I think that's what I've heard.
This is what I'm told. Will the wild card team be from the Canada West, or are there top teams across the country?
I just think based on the fact that, you know, the Canada West, I hate to say it, but they haven't had a superb record when going up against, you know, the OUA and teams in Quebec. I mean, there's been some wins, you know, substantial wins by you know, teams from out east against Canada West ranked teams. And, you know, I think when you put things down on paper, are there enough games to really make an intelligent case as to who should be the wild card? I don't think there's enough interlocking play. So it's just, you know what, it's a crapshoot, and it's going to be a highly controversial decision whichever way it goes. But that's the reality of playing, you know, university basketball in Canada, and maybe that's half the reason UBC wants to play in the NCAA.
Yeah, I guess so. But sticking on UBC right now, though, Howard, I mean, as we're looking right now, UBC, UVic, and Brandon, the race to get into the Nationals, chances are only two of them are going to get in. It's a heck of a race we got going on right now.
Oh, no, it really is. And I agree with you completely. And you consider the fact that, you know, Victoria was in the national final last year. UBC's conference winning streak was snapped at 33 games. And the team that beat both of those teams is that team in Brandon that, you know, really has rebuilt that program on the fly. Barnaby Craddock, the head coach there, has obviously done a great job of getting everybody excited about basketball, you know, at that school again. And they're right back to where they were. So, yeah, I mean, those are three really, really good teams. We'll have to wait and see what happens, you know, with the playoffs. I think from a UBC perspective, those who might, you know, kind of sink their heads and wonder what's up with the T-Birds, I mean, this is still a team with a 14-1 record, you know, that could be 16-1 after this weekend. And really, if you look at everything they've done over the past few years, all they really have needed is a win in that first game at Nationals, and then I think everything else is off the table, and you don't know what you could be talking about in terms of, you know, could this UBC team have been a team that's already won a national championship?
And Howard, Casey Archibald with this play so far, second in the Canada West, 22.9 points, 4.9 assists, leads the conference in free throw percentage. Is he playing like a national player of the year?
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, everyone's going to have their up and down games. I think what's essential, you know, on a night when Casey is going to put up a 4-for-13 or whatever it was against Brandon, that other guys obviously, you know, step up and meet that challenge to support him, because clearly, you know, they've been recruiting blue chip players and guys that, you know, give this Thunderbird team an identity where they're not a one man team. So I think it's key that everybody else step up. I think Casey, you know, for my money, is one of the top two players, you know, in the country. I think you have to give Gente from Carlton nods. I mean, the guy just wins in big games all the time. Those two guys, Casey and Osvaldo, I think are the two best players in the country. It would be great to see, you know, a national showdown, obviously, between those two schools in Halifax come March.
And Casey, sticking with you, sticking with UBC right now, Casey Archibald, as I just mentioned, doing great for the Birds. Chris Dick's been solid for UBC, 12.9 points. But the guy I want to ask you about, and he's playing a new role at UBC, and I have seen him play some amazing basketball at Trinity Western, put up a ton of points, averaging 5 points per game. And you mentioned, you know, Casey had a rough night shooting versus Brandon. Well, this guy was only able to chip in with 2 points during that loss, 1-for-2 shooting, only played 13 minutes. Adam Friesen only averaging 5 points per game. Discuss his play this season. What do you think?
You know, Howard? What it is? First off, I mean, let's go through the basics here with Adam Friesen. We know he can score because, you know, as a centerpiece of a pretty offensive-minded Trinity Western team, he was, you know, the go-to scorer on the team, especially, you know, from the perimeter position, obviously. I think if you put him into a situation at UBC where you've got a lot of emphasis being put in terms of wanting to succeed at Nationals on the play of your big guys up front, I think, you know, you give a guy like Friesen a different role, and that from Kevin Hansen has been, be our point guard, be unselfish, you know, and sacrifice a lot of the things that you do for the betterment of the team. I think where UBC is right now, Daryl, is when it gets to those situations where they need secondary scoring from their guards, he does have to step up and begin to start scoring. And it's not easy when you're in a, you know, a three-guard kind of situation with Casey, you know, and Chris Dick and Adam, for each one to know when the other has to be the scorer. And I think these are the kind of things that they're learning along the way. So, yeah, I think he can score more. I think he needs to try and score more. But at the same time, he's been given a responsibility of being a point guard, and he sacrificed a lot of his own stats for that. I think there just has to be a kind of a public notice from Kevin Hansen that, hey, we need all three guards scoring. I think you'll notice when Chris Dick and Casey Archibald each hit the 20-point mark, this is a pretty unbeatable team in the same game we're talking about.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, though, and what I think we're both saying, Howard, is that if Casey is struggling, maybe Adam Friesen is a guy who is going to have to step up and score points. He's got to be able to do that.
Yeah, and he has to develop the mindset to get back to that kind of a role. And it's been a while for Adam. I mean, you think of it, you know, he had the redshirt season, and, you know, this season is, you know, three quarters of the way through the league part of the campaign. It's been it's been 2 or 3 years since he's been in that kind of a position. And, you know, perhaps you start to run things more for Adam to become more a part of the scoring offense. I don't know. We all know, obviously, the capability that is there. You know, it's just on a team that has such a strong personality, you know, that this is Casey Archibald's team, it's perhaps easier to talk about something like that than it is to go out on the court and just have that happen at the key moment of the game that you wanted to.
Awesome, Howard. A couple more questions. Let you go. Thanks so much for doing this. I'd love to go on, but you've got to go, and I'm sure, and, you know, I've got a full show. I got to interview Brad Zannon, who had a hat trick in a second period for UBC on the weekend, but UBC, UVic, got to get into the weekend. Birds beat them 78-73 here on December the 2nd, the only matchup they've played. But in that game, and I don't think this is going to happen again, Graham Bollinger, no points. UVic, a 70% free throw shooting team, shot 38% from the line in that game. What kind of weekend do you think we're looking at, Howard? What do we got to watch out for, UBC and UVic, Friday and Saturday?
Well, you know, I don't think people have made much notice of the fact that Victoria, you know, has made, you know, some pretty substantial changes in the way it plays its game. I mean, the departure of Chris Trumpy just made them kind of rethink what they were doing. And as well, I mean, the fact that, you know, the FIBA 24 second shot is going to be coming into play for men's basketball in Canada West next season. I think a lot of different factors have meant that Victoria has tried to play it up tempo. And I think right now they're still in the kind of struggling stages of not knowing whether they're going to get that kind of execution in the new offense that they've put in place every single game. And so I think the time that they played UBC was not, Graham Bollinger's day. He didn't get looks early. They couldn't get him involved in the game. And I think as a result, just kind of went away from him and tried to do other things on the floor. I think this time around, initially, you go right into the post to Bollinger. You've talked about the high percentage from the field, and you want to use that to get everything else in your game going. So I think, you know, they'll do that, and Jacob Dirksen, Tyler Haas early on, try and get them all involved offensively and see if the guards can't pick up the load after that.
And UBC just run at them and play good defense down low?
Yeah, there's no secret to the way UBC plays. I mean, I think they're probably the most versatile team in the conference because I think if they want to be, you know, a real low post, bang you physical team, they've got enough of that on their roster this year to do that. And they've also got the luxury of having Casey Archibald dictate, you know, up-tempo basketball if they want to do that. So I think UBC just has to feel out what is working for them in the early stages of the game and be smart enough to know that's the style they're going to have to play on that given night to succeed against Victoria. But like we say, going into Victoria, never an easy task. And, you know, I'm just happy that they're honoring Ken and Kathy Shields this weekend, who are, you know, two of the greatest coaches this country has ever produced basketball-wise.
Yeah, that'll be at halftime. In between the men's and the women's game. And Howard, I don't know much about these individuals, and I am going to do my research between now and then, but this is a due honor these guys are getting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to talk about Ken Shields, all you got to do is say, in the United States, there's John Wooden, and in Canada, there's Ken Shields. So that's your quick primer on the influence Ken Shields has had, and what a great guy, and just nice to see that there'll be some permanence with the Shields legacy in Victoria.
Terrific. So, Howard, your prediction for the weekend?
Well, you know what? You can call it a split. You can say whatever you want. I think there's a desperate edge to the UBC team coming off the Brandon loss. I think that there's enough in that UBC team that it's not unrealistic to expect a split. I mean, either team could sweep, but I have a feeling I'm going to call Victoria on the first night, UBC on the second night, but only because you're putting me on the spot, Daryl. But let's go for a 500 weekend with the Birds coming out with a win on Saturday.
But I get a stand by my +4.
Yeah, okay.
UBC.
By your +4. Yeah. I think you're in the range. I don't think either game is going to be more than 8 points, put it that way.
Awesome. Howard Samora from the Vancouver province. Howard, I do appreciate you coming on today. Love to do it again sometime.
Anytime,
and thanks for everything.
Daryl.
Thank you, Howard. Okay, that was Howard Samora from the Vancouver province. We're going to stay with CIS Sports after the break. Brad Zanin from the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team will be with us. What a fun weekend we had down at GM Place. I got to do some broadcasts with Michael Wall. And then we're going to have Jim Robson on right after the Brad interview. We're going to do some NFL football before the show is up. You are listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. It's time for Scooby-Doo!
Okay,
everybody, welcome. Welcome back to Winners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CHRD of Vancouver, Canada. And with us on the line right now, we have the Canada West Male Hockey Player of the Week, Brad Zanin, for the UBC Thunderbirds. Brad, in the weekend split versus Regina, had 4 goals and 1 assist, including 3 goals all on the power play in the second period, one of the great periods, I'm sure, in UBC hockey history, a 5-goal second period to come back from a 3-0 deficit in the 6-4 win versus Regina on Saturday at GM Place in front of the big crowd. So, Brad, thanks for coming on the show today, and how you doing? And that had to have been a fun period.
Thanks for having me. It was a great period for us. Definitely going into the dressing room after the first period, we were all kind of down, and we just came out and like you said, it was a fun time. It was good to be a part of it.
And Brad, what happened? Because in between periods, there, I got to ask you. You guys had the 4-3 loss on Friday. Regina gets the late goal in a game that definitely could have gone either way. It was a tough loss for you guys. And then you come out on Saturday, you get outshot 20-6 in the first period. You're down 3-0, and you know, I was watching that game, Brad, and I thought it probably should have been 5-0, and it could have been 7-0. You guys, Francois Tuo stopped a penalty shot. You guys killed off a 2-minute 2-man advantage. I mean, Tuo was, I thought he was quite excellent to keep the score at 3-0. What went on in your locker room? You guys were staring a sweep down the face to come up with that 5-goal second period. What was said in the locker room?
Yeah, you know, we have a bunch of good leaders on our team, and you know, the right guy said the right things, the right time, which inspired us, and we went out there, and you know, the rest is sort of history. What happened? but like I said, we got the group of guys that we have on our team right now. It's just all character guys, and it just showed that we were down, but we came up, and we got the job done. So.
And, Brad, the knock on the UBC hockey team, you guys are a team that struggles to score goals, so it had to be nice to get the big 6 on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a relief, and we have been struggling with it all year, and that's one of the things, that one of our goals that we set for the second half was to start putting pucks in the net, and that was a good way to start it off, really. So hopefully we can keep it going now.
Yeah, you guys have a bye this weekend. Your next games are going to be at Manitoba, Jan 26, Jan 27. A team who they are in the fight for the 6th and final playoff spot. You guys are in that mix. You're sitting at 4th right now, but things can change quickly in the Canada West this season. You're still trying to catch Calgary for home ice in the first round. But the other thing I got to ask you about, Brad, is UBC, the stat is 2-7-1 on Fridays. You're 7-3 on the Saturdays and Sundays, and you've lost 6 straight on Friday nights. What's going on with you guys on Friday?
Oh, I know. I wish we had an answer, really, because that's another one of the things that's sort of driving us nuts right now. Just coming out on that first night, us setting the tone. We seem to be going out there and sitting back and almost watching what the other team's going to do, and then we're almost, you know, we're down a couple goals, and we, you know, have troubles getting back. So we just want to turn that around going to Manitoba in a couple weeks here, and we want to go out there and we want to set the tone, get the first goal, get them on their heels, and hopefully we can take that into our first sweep of the year. So
yeah, and that's the other thing, Brad, no sweeps this year. You guys have a record of 9-10-1, but you haven't won back-to-back games against the team all year.
Oh, I know. I know, it's ridiculous. It splits all year. So, but you know, that's as long as we're in the hunt and we're playing well, it'd be nice to get the sweep. But you know, obviously the split's better than us getting swept. So we're happy with winning, but we want to take that next step now in a couple weeks, so we can go into the playoff run with on a high, sort of thing. So.
And do you really want to go back into Calgary again?
Oh, definitely not. My three years have been in Calgary. We've lost in Calgary the last 2 years. That's definitely a place where, you know, we have some bad memories. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind going in there and taking it from them this year. So, but we have our eyes on a home ice advantage at the playoff time. We want that home playoff series here. So. Right now, that's our goal, and we're all working hard to get there. So,
and I'm sure you know, Brad, before you got here, the last 3-4 years, this team was a team that did struggle to make the playoffs. So you do know improvement is being made by this program.
Oh, of course, yeah. You know, like when I was getting recruited, I knew a couple guys who were playing here, and yeah, they said they've been having trouble winning, but the program is on the up and up, and it still is. But you know, at the same time, we got to set our goals even higher and take this home playoff series and you know, keep going from there.
And Brad, you guys played at GM Place on the weekend. You had the great win on Saturday, and it was the same thing before the break. You had the bad game versus Lethbridge on Friday. You came back with the great win on Sunday. But, you know, you've played all around the province. You've been traveling. What's been your favorite rink to play at so far this season, Brad?
Well, it was tough to top that Saturday game at GM Place. We had a great crowd. It was nearly 2,000 people from what we heard. But that support that they showed us was just fantastic. So I would, you know, it's hard to top playing in one of the best facilities in the NHL, let alone the CIS.
I actually have to take it back. Besides GM Place. GM Place.
You know, as far as the rinks that we've played at home this year, I thought South Surrey had a nice crowd for us, and they treated us well there as well. They have a nice big ice, so, you know, if you're a skating type of player, you can use that to your advantage. So I really like playing South Surrey, actually.
Cool. And I got to ask you, on the weekend, Brad, this guy was huge for you guys. You got the Canada West Hockey Player of the Week, but Daryl May on the weekend, 3-point games both nights, goal and 5 assists. He was awesome on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mayday's been doing it all year. So you know, we expect our best players to be our best players, and that shows, you know, he had a great weekend. I mean, he assisted on all my goals, so I guess I sort of owe him, he gets some accolades for that. But, no, Daryl's a great player, and he just he showed why he's leading our team in points, and he's in the tops on the scoring leaders in Canada West as well. So.
And the play that I saw, as far as I thought, was maybe your nicest goal of the weekend, but as far as Daryl May, was the first night versus Regina on the power play, the saucer one-time pass to Mitch Bartley. That was cool.
Oh, yeah, that was a nice play. We watched that a couple times in the video session the next day. That was it was a great pass, and for Mitch to finish a shot like that as a saucer pass, that's not everyone can do that. And again, Bartley showed why he was a 30-goal guy in the Western Hockey League as well. So those guys have been big for us all year, and they both had good weekends as well. So.
And Bartley, you know, he did get off to a bit of a slow start, but he's come on real big for you guys your last 3 weekends so far, the 2 this season, this year, and the 1 before the break. Is this guy getting ready to explode in Canada West hockey?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I just know from my first year, the first half of the year is always pretty tough. You know, you got your school, and you sort of don't know how to judge your time, and hockey might be put on the back burner, unfortunately. But I know Mitch, he's persevering here, and he is playing really well. And like you said, yeah, I'm just waiting for him to explode into that player we all know he can be. And well, and like you said, the last few weeks have been great for Daryl's line, which is with Mitch and Jervs going up on there. That's, I think, helped them a lot. So, I would definitely expect Mitch to explode here in the next couple weekends.
And Brad, you play on the power play. Last question, and I'll let you go. Thanks for doing this so much, and congrats on the great weekend. But your power play, not good all year, and then, you know, you had a half-decent weekend versus Calgary last weekend, the weekend before last, and then on the weekend, of course, the 6 power play goals on Saturday. You had 2 power play goals on Friday. You guys, you know, you're sitting at last in the Canada West coming into the weekend at about 12%. It's gone up now. You're still last, but you're coming on now. What are you guys doing differently?
Well, basically, we're sort of just basically dumbing it down, if you will. We just want to get shots on the net. And we got to just shoot the puck more, and we were doing that on the weekend. I mean, of course, there's a couple of those nice plays in there, but when you make the game a lot easier, sometimes the pucks go in, and that's just sort of what we've been doing in practice, just concentrating on working around, just get the pucks in the net as much as you can. Regina, we knew, was a team that blocks a lot of shots, so that was part of the reason why we just wanted the pucks in the net, and, you know, we weren't expecting to get 6 goals on the power play on Saturday, but we did, and hopefully we can now bring that into Manitoba and keep the power play going.
Because that has to be an even bigger lift for you guys, the fact that the power play is going. You weren't going, you were going to be in trouble in the playoffs in this season if that power play doesn't get going.
Oh, definitely. And that's part of the reason, you know, why we weren't scoring a lot of goals either. Your power play has got to be a big reason for getting the goals. So both of them, they go hand in hand. And right now, with the power play being as strong as it is, we can get more pucks in the net and start winning some games and start sweeping some teams. So that's what we have to look forward to in the next couple weeks here.
Awesome. Brad Zanin from the UBC men's hockey team, Canada West male hockey player of the week. Brad, you set a UBC record for power play goals in a game, and you tied the Canada West record for power play goals in a period. You're the fourth player to do that in Canada West history. For a defenseman, that has to feel kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I just heard that this morning, actually. Someone told me about that. Yeah, it's pretty surprising. I mean, I wasn't normally an offensive guy before I came to the CIS, so this is all new territory for me. But I'm sure enjoying it. So it keeps going.
It is fun to score goals sometimes, though. No.
Yeah, it is pretty fun to score goals. Hopefully they still go in the net. Hopefully the luck is on my side still to finish the year off now.
And you got the games versus Manitoba in 2 weeks, but you really got, and then you got the big games versus Calgary at Minoru February 2nd and February 3rd. You got to sweep that weekend.
Definitely. But we want, like you said, we got to take them one at a time here, and we'll take care of Manitoba, and hopefully we'll just look up and worry about the teams in front of us and try to catch them. And like I said, get that home playoff spot. So that weekend against Calgary is going to be big for us, and hopefully we can take that home playoff spot and win some games in the playoffs.
Yeah, and the only question if you get the home playoff spot is where are you going to play? Where are you
exactly.
going to play?
Hopefully GM Place will have us back again. We seem to have some good games there. So
awesome. Brad Zanin from the UBC men's hockey team, they put on a great show at GM Place for a pretty big crowd. And, Brad, you did see it. I think there are more people there for the UBC game than the Canucks game. I don't know if you quite saw that. But
Yeah, we popped out there at the first period of the Canuck game, and when we came out for our game, it was double the people. So that was really inspiring for us, and hopefully we can get some big crowds out at Minoru in a few weeks here. So.
Thanks a lot. Awesome. Brad Zanin. Brad, thanks for coming on. Very much appreciated.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, there you have it. Brad Zanin from the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. What a weekend they put on for us there. The game on Friday night, so entertaining. It actually was a 4-3 loss to Regina, and Regina scored with about 8 minutes to go to win it 4-3, and it was a great 7 minutes of that third period on Friday, the first 7 minutes. Hard-hitting. And it's the kind of hard-hitting game you don't get in hockey anymore because the refs are going to call everything. You can't play that hard-hitting without doing a little bit of hooking and grabbing. Or getting the shoulder up just a wee bit. It just doesn't work. But the ref let him go. Then Regina got the goal. And then Regina was still doing their little hooking and grabbing, and UBC got no chances. Saturday, as we said here with Brad, UBC, it was terrible, their first period on Saturday, down 3-0, outshot 20-6. I told Brad, and he didn't deny it. They probably should have been down 5-0, and they could have been down 7-0. 2-0 was great in that first period, keeping it at 3-0. I honestly thought they were done. You know, UBC, with the way they score, it's going to be tough to come back from 3-0, especially losing 4-3 on Friday. But how you doing? A five power play goals for a team coming into that one. The worst power play in Canada West hockey comes up with five power play goals in the second period. Brad Zanin had three of them. And that was scored in just over 10 and a half minutes. They had five power play goals. It was awesome. And then they won it 6-4 in the third with goal each by each team in the third period. Lance Morrison put it away for UBC with 57 seconds to go because it was tight. Regina made it 5-4 with about 9 minutes to go, but UBC held on for a big, big win. They currently sit at fourth place in the Canada West. UBC 9-10-1. They got 19 points, but six teams make the playoffs. Seven teams play hockey. Lethbridge currently in last. They have only played 18 games, two less than UBC. They're 6-8-4 with 19 points, but they have two games in hand. Manitoba, 20 games, 8-11-1 with 17 points. Big game this weekend. Calgary will go to Regina. Those are big games. Manitoba at Lethbridge, I guess I just gave you their records. And the two top teams in the conference, Alberta and Saskatchewan, will battle it out to see who is number one. All right. I've got a cool interview for you guys right now. Hopefully you do enjoy it. It's better than listening to me. Before the game on Friday for a pregame show, we caught up with a Vancouver, he's the legend, he's the man, Hockey Hall of Famer Jim Robson, stopped in at the pregame show on Friday with myself and Michael Wall, and I'm a huge Jim Robson fan, and I've got to meet him a little bit over the years, and what a nice gentleman, and here it is. Mike and I interview with Jim Robson. We'll be back in about 15 minutes with some football talk, but sit back and enjoy our interview with Jim Robson. Don't worry, because he does most of the talking. It was just great.
With us right now is our pregame guest, Jim Robson. Jim, how are you doing today?
Oh, just fine, just fine.
So, Jim, we do have to ask you, Michael Wall is with me right now. Here we are at the Jim Robson Gondola at GM Place, and are you, just to ask you, you know, here we are up here, two university announcers, but are you proud, are you honored that this gondola is named after you?
Oh, certainly. As long as they don't say Memorial as part of the name up there, that's fine with me. And I noticed, though, it's kind of a temporary sign, so I better behave myself. I was at the Canuck game last night. I attend most of them. And I'm very well-treated by the Canucks, no matter what era it is. And so I can look across from the press box or from the stands, wherever I happen to be, and see that up there. So my family and I are proud of that.
Just want to say, folks, right now, for this interview, we are having a little bit of troubles with our speaker off of the computer here at CITR, so I apologize for the little crackling you heard there, but yeah, it's really all we can do. So, yeah, just thought I'd explain that.
And Jim, I do have to ask you, you have heard Michael. He does the play-by-play with us now, but you have heard our play-by-play. Are we worthy of being in the Jim Robson gondola?
Certainly, certainly. As long as you just don't fall out of the booth up there. I worry about you, Darrell. I've heard some of your tapes over the years, and in this particular location, you won't be able to turn and talk to the pretty girls in the stands while the goals are being scored, which I've heard you do in the past, but I'm sure you've cut a lot of that out of your act.
Well, Jim, you obviously know my partner very well here. It's Mike Wall talking. Jim, you know, we've had a chance this year to travel a little bit around the Lower Mainland and do a few games in various buildings, including Burnaby Winter Club and Minaroo in Richmond, and now here at General Motors Place. And, you know, we're just getting to see some of the local buildings. And, of course, you've traveled extensively around the buildings in North America, and I'm sure all over the world. And we're just wondering, are there certain places that you remember most fondly?
Well, certainly the best, in my mind, was the Montreal Forum, which is no more. I think it's a collection of movie theaters now.
That's right.
At Atwater and St. Catharines in Montreal. And downtown Montreal, of course, is the new arena, and it's very good. They've done a great job with the new rink in Montreal, and they tried to recapture some of the great history of the Montreal Canadiens as you walk around the new rink. There's alcoves with photographs of the old Montreal Canadian teams and all the Hall of Famers they've had in their lineups. So it's still done very well. Montreal does a lot of things very well, and they have a good hockey team this year as well. But the old Montreal Forum was terrific. It was very well maintained. The seats were all painted bright red, beautifully kept up. Not a lot of leg room in them because they packed the people in there. But the ice was always good. The lighting was fantastic. And, you know, in a lot of arenas around the National Hockey League and other levels of hockey, too, they hang up banners. You know, the divisional winners or playoff divisional winner or something like that. But in Montreal, they don't bother with that. The only banner they put up is the Stanley Cup. The others don't count. So the only banners hanging up there in the old Montreal Forum, there were, I think, 21 of them hanging across the top of the arena, the years they won the Stanley Cup. And if you don't win the Stanley Cup in Montreal, it's a bad year. And so that's the kind of an organization it was. And we, where we worked there, we were close to the ice. We were just above the benches. You could see all the activity at the benches. And there was a lot of great people around. John Beliveau would drop by and be your intermission guest. Danny Gallivan was always there, and we'd have a good visit with him. And Dick Irvin and legendary people like that. So it was a special place. I always thought it was the best place to work.
And Jim, with all the new stadiums today really being the same, do you miss it? Do you think it's a good thing for hockey that all these stadiums are pretty much generic sports or all facility buildings nowadays? There's nothing really unique about the new arenas?
Well, you're bang on that. I don't think it is that great, but I'm in my 70s, so I'm a different era. So you can't just go back. But the arenas did have more character. They kept Chicago Stadium and the Boston Garden. But the rats got bigger than the skates in the Boston Garden, so they had to build a new arena. But the arena in Boston and Chicago and St. Louis, and they're all like shopping malls. They're all the same. They're you can hardly tell what building you're in by looking around, and they have very poor broadcast facilities in a lot of the American rinks. They never think about hockey. You know, the basketball people work along on the floor, so they don't have to worry about facilities for broadcasting, but hockey you have to work other places, and they often just put you in the stands somewhere, sort of an exit up into the stands. It's an afterthought. Even the press boxes in some arenas are poor. And the Canadian rinks, though, they do a much better job of putting in proper facilities for broadcasting, for television, and the dressing rooms are much better in the Canadian rinks. You know, they think of little things like the stalls in the team's dressing room. The goaltender stall has to be much bigger than another player because of all the equipment they have, and so they have to make bigger stalls for the goaltenders. But a lot of the new American rinks, even the ones that in the 70s that were built, they didn't think about things like that. And maybe they're better in that sort of thing today, but certainly the new rinks don't have the character of the old ones. But that's the way it is. You have to give the people the big screen. Like now, as you sit there working, you look at that big screen, and they'll be using it during the Birds games tonight and tomorrow night. And it's great. I was at the Thunderbirds game there when they played the Thunderbird alumni played the preliminary against the Canuck alumni, and then the game was UBC win over Lethbridge. And they had the big screen up there, and it is fantastic. And people haven't been in GM Place. And this game tonight and the game tomorrow night gives people an opportunity to go to some hockey games at GM Place for a few bucks instead of the $80, $90, $100 ticket that you have to pay for a Canuck game. Not all the tickets are that expensive, but a lot of them are. So you've got to add those things in today's buildings. It's showbiz, pounding music, the pregame show with the lights out. It's all part of the show, and the young crowd enjoys it, and they fill the building, so who's to say that's wrong?
And, of course, Jim, tomorrow night they're going to show off that scoreboard before the UBC game against Regina. They're going to show the Canucks-Leafs game prior to the game tomorrow night on the big screen. So the fans who are going to come out to the UBC game can come out before and watch the Leafs and Canucks on that big screen that you were just mentioning.
Oh, it is a fantastic screen. It's so clear. It's unbelievable. They'll zero in and show a face-off, and you'll see the scars on the guy's skates. I mean, and everybody in the building can see. And, of course, they use it a lot in the crowds as well. Hopefully there will be a big crowd for your games. It sounds like tonight might not be, but I hope tomorrow night with the Canuck Leaf game up on the screen at 4 o'clock, and then the Birds and Regina game, which is an important game for the Thunderbirds to get to the playoffs. They have a pretty good shot at it. They get better every year. I think Java Civic has done a very good job out there recruiting. He's gone a lot of the Western League route because they have a program in Canadian junior hockey now, which I think has been very good, and it's been a long time coming. But now they have a system in that if you play a year in the Western Junior Hockey League, for example, you get a year's scholarship help in a Canadian university. So you've got some pretty good Western League graduates coming into the Thunderbirds and other teams in Canadian college hockey. The caliber of the Thunderbirds and Western Canadian college hockey is better than the Western Junior. I mean, the Giants get 9 and 10,000 and deserve it. They got a big show at the Pacific Coliseum. They do a good job. It's a very good junior team. But as far as the caliber goes, you're talking about 18, 19-year-olds, and the Canadian college player often is 22, 23, and even older. They're experienced players, and it's better hockey. But I remember talking to the Thunderbird coach about this and saying, doesn't it bother you if your former team, the Giants, get 10,000 across town, and you've got 100 people watching the game at the UBC Arena last year? And he said, no, that's just the way it is. These guys are going to school, and very few would go on to pro hockey out of college hockey, and and they're just working towards a degree and playing hockey, and it's good hockey, but the general public doesn't really care about it that much.
Jim, getting back to the stadiums, I just want to ask you a question. As Michael mentioned, we've been to Minru this year, Burnaby Winter Club. Michael went to South Surrey Arena, and you've called baseball, you were at Nat Bailey Stadium, you've called basketball around this province. What is Jim Robson's favorite small arena? What's something that, you know, you look back upon and you just had great times in an arena? Where was it? What is your, when you were just getting started, what was your favorite arena that you look back upon with kind memories?
Well, Queen's Park Arena in New Westminster was always a sort of a special place. It was the closest arena to where I grew up, and it had a very small ice surface. And it was great to watch Fox lacrosse, and still is. It's the only place that has the proper wooden floor, which is what should go with lacrosse. And they've done a good job around the Queen's Park Arena preserving some of the hockey history with pictures of teams. It's fun to look back and you see, you know, players that went on to play in the NHL and prominent players that played their minor hockey in New Westminster. And Queen's Park Arena was always an interesting place. But I think in B.C., one of my favorites is certainly the Penticton Arena. It's a little over 50 years old now. They're talking about a new rink in Penticton, and they say they might have to do away with the old one. I think that'd be a terrible shame. It's an old sort of a, just after the war, I guess, would be built, and it was a Quonset look about it, you know. But inside, it's beautifully maintained. It's got a great history. The BC Hockey Hall of Fame is in it, and they've done a nice job with the displays in there. And I think it'd be a real shame. They've had that very successful hockey school up there every summer. It's the best in Canada. It's been going a long, long time. And it'd be a shame that if that rink were to be destroyed. But a new rink will be coming into Penticton for sure. But that old rink in Penticton is a special place. And as far as the new ones go, there's some, that arena in Surrey you mentioned. The Thunderbirds have played there. That is a beautiful arena in South Surrey. And a great complex there in White Rock where they've got all the playing fields and softball city and a lot of, and a swimming facility. Lots of good sports facilities there in White Rock. And, of course, the South Surrey Arena there with an Olympic-size ice surface.
I was just going to say, Jim, it's an Olympic-size surface, and I'm surprised it didn't get any consideration at all to host Olympic hockey.
Well, it's too small. You can't, you got to have a lot more seats. And I think the fact that the Olympics of 2010 have been allowed to use North American size ice is a major breakthrough, really, and a great boon to the North American teams, the United States and Canada, because it makes it quite a different game played on the 200 by 85 of a North American size rink compared to the a larger ice surface in Europe where, you know, the players going into forecheck can't gamble nearly as much. Whereas we saw the World Junior Hockey Tournament here at the arena you're in right now, and of course the Canadian team would send in that first forecheck early in the game and just hammer some young defenseman on the opposing team with a lot of hits and a lot of intimidation. And but in Europe, you're playing on a bigger ice surface. You could get just trapped in there charging into forecheck and be left there while the puck is being moved out. And you have to play a different style of game. But they have conceded to the North American request to go to the 200 by 85 ice size, so that's the way it'll be in 2010. And so they'll be playing the games in the Pacific, well, I guess Pacific Coliseum might be used for figure skating. I'm not sure what the whether they'll have some hockey there as well, but most of the hockey will be at General Motors Place.
I think a lot of the figure skating will be at General Motors Place as well.
Yeah.
With the hockey, remainder of the hockey out at UBC.
Oh, yeah.
Terrific. Well, Jim Robson, Jim, thank you very much for doing it. Are you impressed we didn't ask you one Vancouver Canuck question?
Well, it doesn't matter. I can dance around any questions. I follow the team closely. I like to see them win. I think they'll have a real tough battle to make the playoffs because they're in a very competitive division and conference and a very competitive league. You know, 2 years ago, the Edmonton Oilers, I think, missed the playoffs with a very good hockey team. So, you know, there's 30 teams in the NHL, 16 make the playoffs, 14 teams miss it, and in those 14 teams, there's going to be some good hockey teams. And that's just the way it is, and I think people get too high when they win and too low when they lose.
and they lose sight of the fact they're going for a nights of entertainment and watching a great sport. I think the wins and losses get too much reaction, whereas I think they should just calm down a little bit and enjoy it for what it is, a great sport and great entertainment, just as the college hockey will be this weekend there.
Terrific. Jim, thank you so much for doing this. We're live from the gondola with your name on it, and we do appreciate it, you coming on our show tonight.
Now, don't fall out of the booth when the Birds win it in overtime.
Any advice for Michael? That's my advice. What about our play-by-play guy?
Yeah, don't forget the guy at home, the location of the puck in relation to the goaltenders. Paint a clear picture.
All right. Thanks very much, Jim.
Okay, boys.
Pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
So that was our interview with Jim Robson from the Jim Robson Broadcast Gondola. We got to do it on the weekend, Mikey Wall and I. And I apologize for those of you that are listening there. And the sound quality of our computers, we got to work on it a bit. But Jim Robson, class act all the way. Loved having him on. And he talked about the Canucks Leafs, the old Montreal Forum. I'm sorry, I don't know where I was going there. But the old Montreal Forum, and it is currently 2-0. The Vancouver Canucks leading the Montreal Canadiens with about 15 minutes to go in the second period. Josh Green and Lucas Krajicek getting goals for the Vancouver Canucks. And, yeah, you know, he said it. And it's really something, it just hockey, I don't know what they're going to do about it, is the stadiums, you know, it used to be, wow. Canucks are playing in Montreal. And it wasn't only playing in Montreal. The big part about it was they're playing in the Montreal Forum. That was a big part about it. Maybe the big part about it. And I remember Kirk McLean getting a hat trick, I think, in the Montreal Forum and then getting a standing ovation after the game from the Montreal crowd. You don't get that anymore. And Jim Robson made a point there. Is people are too into wins and losses nowadays. And they're just not into going to the ballpark or going to the rink and just watching some great hockey. And I think that has to do with the price of the ticket. I really do. When you're paying that much money, you demand excellence. You expect excellence. It better be excellence or I'm angry. And I think that's part of it nowadays. So it's too bad. It's too bad, but I do think that that's a main factor. Okay, we are going to take a break because I got to run off. I'm eating these cookies right now. I ran down during the interview. I already listened to it, but I ran down during the interview, and I went to the coffee place downstairs, and there was a guy and a girl in line, boyfriend, girlfriend, it looked like. I could be wrong. And it was one of those things where I'm the next guy in line, and you're at a coffee shop. You know, you're at a little coffee place, and you're going to get a coffee or a hot chocolate or a tea, and they could not figure out what to get, especially him. He really sucked. He was like she would order, and it wasn't like when she was ordering, he was thinking about what he wanted, or maybe he was, but just nothing was hitting in his brain, and then it was his time to order, and he was like, I'll get a large coffee. And then he saw his size, and he's like, oh, wait, can you make it bigger? And I was literally thinking, you know what, I'm going to have to leave here in a minute and run back up here. Anyways, I am having trouble getting hold of BJ Bass, so you're going to have to bear with me for our NFL report right after the break here. I do apologize right now. I got to go get something to drink. I need a liquid. So... However, folks, we will be right back in a moment. I just got to run down, get a quick little sip, and then we're going to go over all of this weekend's NFL actions and what games we had on the weekend in the National Football League. It was pretty fantastic, and we'll get into all that stuff. Big loss for the Seahawks, and what happened? What happened to the San Diego Chargers? Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. I will be right back with some football talk to close out the show.
Ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you smoke? Why must you live out the song that you wrote? Over and over, everybody made my prediction. So if I get stoned, sing you a song. Lord, it's a family tradition.
hit music singer. Always been a real close family. Lately, some of my old kin folks disowned some other boys than me. I guess it's because I kind of changed my direction. Hey, I leave me alone. I'm singing all night long. It's an old family tradition. Don't ask me why do you drink? Why do you smoke? Give me friction. I say, leave us alone. We're singing all night long. It's a family tradition. I have loved some ladies. I have loved Jimmy. They both tried to kill me in 1973. When that doctor asked me, son, how'd you get in this condition? I said, I hate sawbones. Carrying on, oh, family tradition, y'all know it. Don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Hey, if I'm down in a honky-tonk, somebody trying to give me friction, I say, leave us alone, we're singing all night long. It's a family tradition.
Okay, everybody, I've got my liquid in my throat. Let's have another little sip here. Now let's talk some football. In about 10 minutes, I don't know what we're calling it, and I'll find out when he gets in here, but Mike, I believe it is now, with Fletcher Head, will be on in about 10 minutes' time. Whew. Still kind of, yeah. Anyways, folks, National Football League talk. Let's get into it right now. Crazy games on the weekend. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you're listening, I didn't really catch that much on Saturday. I had the UBC game to do Saturday night, and I was doing stuff in the day. Oh, God, now I'm like burping. I didn't catch too much of the Colts-Ravens game. And I didn't get too much of the Eagles-Saints game, which hurt not to see. But Sunday, I missed very few plays. And let's just get into these games. And I'll give you my picks for next week if you care. All right. Colts at Patriots. Or Patriots at Colts. Patriots coming in at +3. Well, Indianapolis and New England have played once this season, 27-20. Indianapolis beat them November 5th at New England. That win raised Indy's record to 9-0. Indianapolis went on to finish the season 12-4. So they really ended the season struggling, losing 4 of their last 7. Last weekend, the Colts won their second game of the playoffs so far on the road at Baltimore, 15-6. Adam Vinatieri, the former Patriots kicker, 5-for-5 on field goals, hit from 23, 35, 42, 58, 51. The big question for the Colts coming into this playoffs, their ability to stop the run. Well, they have done an amazing job. You got to say it. You got to say it like that because it's true. An amazing job the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. Jamal Lewis, the big Ravens running back. Not a big Jamal Lewis guy myself, but 13 carries, 53 yards. Larry Johnson, I'm a big Larry Johnson guy, 13 carries for 32 yards. So they shut them down. Peyton Manning, last week, 15 for 30, 170 yards, 2 INTs. Not great numbers. In the playoffs so far, Peyton Manning in the 2 games, 1 touchdown, 5 INTs. Patriots won their first game versus the Jets, 37-16. But last week, they had a heck of a game at San Diego. I don't know how New England won this game. The Chargers, 14-2 on the year coming in. All-world running back. I think he got, 31 touchdowns rushing and receiving this year. Plus, he threw for a couple. Larry Johnson, I mean, I'm sorry, LaDainian Tomlinson. I missed it, but I caught it. LaDainian Tomlinson. And LT tore him up. He tore up the Patriots. 23 carries for 123 yards, two touchdowns, caught two for 64. One of them was an incredible run after the catch. Tom Brady's numbers, 27 for 54, 280, two touchdowns, three INTs. My brother saw an INT from England, and he thought to himself, the fix is in. Brady was so bad. And I thought the way the game ended, the fix was in the other way with what some of the plays the Chargers did. Running the ball in New England, nothing. Kevin Falk, their leading rusher, 6 for 25. Corey Dillon, 8 for 18. Lawrence Maroney, 5 carries, 5 yards. Why did San Diego lose this game? Simple bonehead. Bonehead errors. They had the punt where their receiver, the punt returner, Parker, I think is his name, dropped it. Went to go pick it up. Could have just dove on it, and it would have been San Diego ball. This is all in the second half. All this happened. And it would have been San Diego ball, but he tried to pick it up again after dropping it. New England draws the fumble. I believe they get points. There's the other play. San Diego stops New England on third down. So New England's got a punt. Not so. There's a headbutt by a San Diego player. New England keeps the drive going. I believe they got points. And then the brutal one. Late in the game, led to the tying touchdown for the Patriots. Tom Brady throws an interception on fourth down. All the guy had to do was knock it down, but he caught it on fourth down. Troy Brown does a great job causing the fumble. Patriots recover. They get the touchdown and the two-point conversion to tie the game at 21, I believe it was, and they go on to win 24-21. How San Diego lost that game, I have no idea. What's going to happen in this one? I'm going to go out and say that the Colts are going to blow them out. I think I take the Colts to win this one by 10 points. You find that bet, that's the one I think is going to happen, 9 or 10. Peyton Manning's due to have a big playoff game. The Patriots have his number, but not in New England. And, you know, you look back into sports history, teams that have had teams' numbers. You go to the Lakers with the Celtics, Jerry West. Lakers versus Cousy and Russell Celtics. West, I don't know if Cousy was on those teams, but Russell sure was. They never beat the Celtics, those Lakers. And the other one I can go to are the great ones. Today in sports, we don't even approach this. And we never will because we suck nowadays. The Dodgers of the late 40s to the mid-50s and the Yankees. Dodgers lost to the Yankees in 41, lost in 47, lost in 49, lost in 52, lost in 53. And then in 55, the Brooklyn Dodgers did the amazing. They beat the Yankees. They won the World Series. Now, the Patriots and the Colts, I believe the Colts have beat lost in New England twice in the playoffs, both times in New England. Okay? So we're not up to Dodger Yankee at all, and we never will because we're inferior in sports nowadays. But I'm going to go out and say Peyton Manning gets her done. And he's due to have a big game, and the Pats haven't looked that great. And you know what? Quite frankly, Bill Belichick, you may be unbelievable, but I don't think you're going to go into that stadium in Indianapolis and do it to the Colts. I think Brady and company go to the first Super Bowl, although it doesn't mean nearly as much as it did when the Dodgers and Yankees played in the 50s. The NFC. Well, we got the two favorites, one on the weekend, the home teams, unlike the AFC, where the road teams won, Saints and at Chicago, Saints plus 3. I have no idea who is going to win this game. I really don't know. I'll say Bears because they're at home and they're a tough defense, but I really don't know. Kind of like to see the Saints, but I kind of like both teams. Although the Saints versus the Colts in the Super Bowl could be fireworks, but whatever. This is the Super Bowl. Do you ever really watch it anyways? This is sort of the last week of football. Super Bowl is more spectacle than sporting event. Anyways, Brian Westbrook for the Eagles in the 27-24 loss, 116 yards, two touchdowns. Great playoff for him. Just got to mention it. Had 141 yards and a touchdown in the win for Philly versus the Giants the week prior. Great season for the Eagles. They did more than was expected with McNabb going down, them struggling. Jeff Garcia comes in, leads them to a division title and a playoff win versus the rival New York Giants. Great job. Drew Brees in the game versus the Eagles, 20 for 32, 243, and a touchdown completed to 8 different receivers. As I said, I didn't catch too much of that game. In the other one, you had Seattle losing to the Bears, 27-24. Sean Alexander, 26 carries, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. Matt Hasselbeck, not very good, 18 for 33, 195, TD and an INT. Probably outplayed by Rex Grossman, 21 for 38, 282, and a touchdown and an INT. The story of the game in the end, Seattle's inability to convert on their chances, the dumb interception by Hasselbeck, and Robbie Gould, the kicker, 41-yarder to tie it in the fourth quarter, and a career-long, that's what's said on the TV, a career-long 49-yarder to win it in overtime. It was a wild game. It was a crazy game. You know, people say Seattle should have won. I think it was a game that simply could have gone either way, and Seattle sort of just ran out of luck with what was going on with them, especially in week one of the playoffs versus Dallas with the whole Romo hold. I mean, something was going to catch up to them eventually, I guess, and it did. But Chicago hosting the Saints, Saints plus 3. You know, I think Chicago will win. That's just what I'm saying. I like their defense. And I think the weather's going to be crap. The weather probably will be bad in Chicago. This time of year. It'll be bad. And Saints are a run-and-gun team, but they got to go into that muck and that wind and play that team. I'm taking the Bears. Okay, that's it for Wiener's Barbecue. We are done. Like to thank everybody for coming on the show today. Casey Archibald and Vern Knopp from UBC Men's Basketball. Howard Samora from the Vancouver Province. Brad Zanin from the UBC Thunderbirds Men's Hockey Team. And, of course, the star of our show. I apologize that the recording came in a little crooked. We had Jim Robson, the Hall of Fame voice, formerly the play-by-play man of the Vancouver Canucks, was kind enough to be our interview on the weekend for our pregame show. Okay, is it Mike with Fletcher Head?
Yes.
Is that what I say now?
Yep.
It's going to take a while.
You'll get it.
I think I already... What?
Just like...
I think I've already got it. Mike with Fletcher Head will be coming on right after me. Who should I end with today? I don't know.
What do you got lined up?
I got to bring up something. What are you thinking here? What are you thinking here?
How about
U2? U2?
It was Martin Luther King.
Yesterday.
Kind of a tribute to him, I guess. U2?
Why is U2 a tribute?
That one song about Martin Luther King.
They have a Martin Luther... What's that one?
Sunday Bloody Sunday, wasn't it?
Sunday Bloody Sunday. That's an Irish day. That's the Irish thing with you.
Well, I
you know what? Between the two of us, we got about 5 seconds here. I'm going to pull up. I know what I'm going to do. Bryce doesn't like it when I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it anyways. Just cut it whenever you want. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.